So the next couple of slides here, like I said, we're going to talk through a couple of big themes in terms of planning for a free fall Chapter 11 filing. You know, in terms of the questions here, when you're getting ready for the filing, a couple of the big work streams that you will encounter are listed here. We'll try to hit the highlights of these, but again, the materials have a little bit more detail for those who want to dig in a little bit deeper. First and foremost, at the top of the list, though, is liquidity and DIP financing. Cash is king in Chapter 11, particularly in a free fall filing where there's so much other uncertainty here. So the first thing we're going to talk through is just how the company's need for liquidity sort of affects the process. Slide 15 here has just a couple of the highlights for why this is such an expensive process. Obviously, a lot of professionals are dialed in today. There's a lot of professional costs. And in terms of funding that process, you typically look to three different areas of financing. If you have unencumbered cash, that's great. Unencumbered cash or lack of secured creditors is one way to fund the case. More often than not, companies are going into Chapter 11 with secured creditors that have liens or may have other interests in their cash. So that's cash collateral. If you can fund a case without getting incremental financing, you can fund it entirely on your cash collateral. And then finally, the other end of the spectrum is DIP financing, where the company doesn't have enough money on hand or from its operations and has to go out to the market to get some financing. So Caroline, you know, obviously you're at Latham, you have a huge company side practice. You've had your fair share of free fall filings over the last couple of years. What's the game plan for you, or what's your thought process when you get that call on the week before, 2 weeks before filing, and realize that you might need to put a company into bankruptcy? How do you think about how to finance the bankruptcy and how to deal with getting cash in the door?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thanks, Greg. And I'm not sure the first thing that goes through my head is or I'm able to repeat in a conference setting. But the second thing that goes through my mind is how long's our runway, right? How long is the runway? What's the precipitating factor? So sometimes it's you're expecting a judgment in a litigation, or a lowercase d default is going to mature into a capital D default where a lender can sweep cash or exercise proxy rights or other remedies. So trying to figure out what your defining date is and working backwards. The other thing that you need to work backwards from is figuring out how much cash do you have on hand? So when will your liquidity runway run out? Those are the first two questions that I ask. The third question that I ask a client who calls and says, help, you know, we need to file for bankruptcy, I always ask, when's your next payroll, right? Because you need to make sure your payroll is financed, and preferably financed and paid immediately before a filing. So understanding those dynamics, because a lot of Chapter 11 planning, at least in part, is done around your employees and your payroll. So understanding those key issues. Some of the other things that we immediately try to figure out is, are there unencumbered assets, as Greg mentioned? Is there cash sitting in an unencumbered bank account? Or is there cash that's not properly perfected somewhere else within the system? Do you have what are going to be non-debtor subsidiaries that can send cash to the debtors to finance the bankruptcy? So figuring out where your cash is, if it's perfected, who controls it, and how much of it there is. The other thing is, you know, that we immediately try to figure out is, what can you do to increase your liquidity position? And oftentimes there's not much that you can do, but we've seen in a lot of the oil and gas cases that ended up in bankruptcy, the companies pulled their revolvers. You know, sometimes it was a couple months before the bankruptcy, and sometimes it was, you know, weeks or days before a bankruptcy, so that the company went into bankruptcy, you know, with a strong liquidity position. It's always better to enter Chapter 11, even if you cannot use the cash, with as much cash on hand as possible, so that you're not desperate for a dip immediately. you certainly may not have to negotiate a cash collateral arrangement with your lenders, but I'd always rather be sitting on a pile of cash entering a bankruptcy than desperately shopping around for the dip where you're going to be the taker of terms. Again, when you're thinking about financing a free fall, in my mind, one of the key things you have to do, you may not know how you're getting out of bankruptcy, but you want to stabilize the business, right? You want to preserve the status quo, at least for a short period of time, so that you can figure out what comes next. And that's everything from maintaining your operations as normal, to hiring a banker who can help you run a sale process if that's where you're headed. But bankruptcy is inherently expensive. So making sure that you have a budget, you know, your lenders, whether it's going to be in a cash collateral situation or a dip, they're going to require a very detailed 13-week cash flow, usually down to the line item, right? And so there are inherent bankruptcy costs that need to be built in. You know, your client who calls you, they may have a very good handle on cash and on reporting, but they're probably not preparing that in a way that the lenders or the bank group are used to seeing. So, you know, they are probably not thinking about a utility deposit and what that looks like and how much money you have to set aside for adequate assurance purposes. They're also probably not thinking, as Greg mentioned, about pre-funding a CERP. And we've seen a lot of that, particularly in some of the oil and gas cases and retail cases even. You know, we're seeing CERPs that are pre-funded. And so they probably don't have a line item in their budget, you know, for those expenses. They probably don't have a full understanding of all the professionals that the debtor is required to pay. You know, they may have a sense of they have a lawyer and a banker and probably a restructuring advisor.